victory already, no matter what else happens, that you came to church this morning. Yeah. I mean that. Bless you. Congratulations. You, we expect every day, but congratulations. Congratulations. These guys, South Africans, seniors, minus 50, bless you. Welcome. Congratulations. Congratulations. You, Sean, congratulations. Amen. Chris, riding the bus. How long did you ride the bus?
I took taxi.
A taxi. Good man. Whatever it takes. Yeah. I love it. I'll pay your taxi bill today. How much was it?
$15.
Hold on. I think today I even have cash. Look at that. I never have money. That's why the Lord works on mysterious ways. Sorry. You're not going to get any money, but congratulations. We are glad you're here. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I do know who you are. I was going to say I don't know who you are, but I do know. That is more amazing. A South African mama on a minus 50 coming to church. Bless you. I don't care what's preached today. Congratulations. You guys, congratulations. You guys, Rowan. Anyhow, I gotta quit. Congratulations for coming today. Thank you. Thank you. Did you pay your tithes? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Oh, you guys, bless you. And your prayer earlier this morning, thank you. Thank you for coming. What time did you come to practice? 8. I couldn't even see out the window at 8 o'clock this morning. Bless you. Oh, be blessed. Be blessed. Congratulate somebody around you or something. This is not normal. This is God. Congratulations, yes, for being here. I mean that. Jonas, hello back there. Congratulations. Matthew, congratulations. Timmy, seriously. This little baby. Congratulations. Yeah. Ha. Your mother's dragging you out. You have no choice, right? Amen. I already congratulated you. Brad, you have to be here. Forget you guys. Congratulations. I mean this. Dr. Florence, God bless you. Not Tim. God bless you. Yeah. My son-in-law. Good job. Good job. Let's close in prayer. Let's have coffee. Let's do something. Oh, man. What I had in my head, I'm sitting there early this morning. I woke up about 4:30. You don't want to know what's going on this week, but just, and I was saying, you know, what my scripture is, and I don't know, it was just rolling in my head, and I'm like, would you just open the Bible to this? And I was just thinking, what a privilege I've had to say that. How many hundreds, thousands times I've been able to say, would you just open your Bible with me? That is such a privilege. Part of the reason I say that is, and I my wife's always after me, stay on track, but she's not here, and the anointing's on me. All week, from 6:30 in the morning this week, the calls come from the after-school care. The furnaces are going off one by one. Our water line froze Friday. They called me 6:30. There's no water. Come down here. Make a long story short, when I got the plumber here, they stripped off the insulation. The pipe is cracked, frozen solid in our room. And then he starts thawing, and he realizes he has no control if this thing lets go. It's full pressure from the city. This is a commercial building with the street pipes are about this big and our pipe. And so he calls the city. We call the city. They come. They can't shut it off on the street. So it's just like this compounding. And so it's like, just quit. Freeze this thing. They brought in special freezing to sure the pipe is frozen. Don't touch that thing. If that thing explodes, this building is gone. It's flooded. All our heating is below. There's nothing to stop. Anyhow, so to be here this morning, it's warm in this building. The water's on. You're here. I'm amazed. Seriously. I'm here. God is good. We have the victory. We've been singing it. It's not just words. Through the valley, on the mountain, he's praised. You give him praise, folks. There's enough to keep us praying going on in our lives and this church. Forget about the rest of the city and forget about North America. There's enough right here to keep us praying for one another. Amen? Turn in your Bibles, please, with me. I say that again. Philippians chapter 3. We have started just a little mini-series as we start this new year. Congratulations, Mom. You didn't hear what was going on earlier, but congratulations. You deserve. I'm telling you, Pam, I was telling you earlier, man, I believe there's a role in heaven this morning writing names, special awards, just for being faithful to God. So we said we're going to, let me back up, we're going to start just a 4-week introduction to the year, talking about some of the things as a new year. My topic out of Philippians chapter 3, I was given, I'll get to it by God's grace. But as we start a year, just to encourage each other to press on, to press in, to forget the past, to believe God for what's coming in this new year. And I'm going to read these scriptures in a minute. But the name of my sermon, Press On, Lori's mom isn't able to be here this morning, but her father, he named his oil field welding company Press On. Press on, my brother. I used to sing those hymns. Live in the, I don't even know the words, live in the sunshine, but press on. And it comes from the scripture, and I dedicate the sermon to Irvin Reich, who pressed on and was faithful, did amazing things as a welder, as a meat cutter with Canada Packers for years, raised a family, started a ministry, was an associate pastor here in the city, preached the night that my brother Brian got saved. There's just so much history in life, and his thing was press on. Keep pushing in. Just press on. And it comes from our scripture this morning. And I'm going to read probably most of the chapter because I love the Word of God more than my own words. And I trust God's Word more than my own words this morning. But in this chapter, chapter 3, the first couple of verses, he's, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord to write the same, I rejoice to write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. He's in prison. He's writing to his friends. I mean, we could talk a lot about the history of what's going on here. He's hoping to see them. We don't know what happens at the end of his life. In the book of Acts, he ends up in prison. We're left there. The book of Acts is kind of left open. As preachers will say, it's because we are supposed to live that out. We are continuing the story. But he's writing to his friends, and he's encouraging them from prison and being attacked. And he says, look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for those who mutilate the flesh. He's talking about the Judaizers and the religious people. For we are the real circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Amen? Though I myself have reason to for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever, now here's what I want to read. So he is like, guys, if anybody's going to start talking to me about their great life, I'm greater. But here's what he says. Where am I? Thank you. I appreciate that. Congratulations. But whatever gain I had, I count it as loss for the sake. There's a few words that are going to come up in this next couple of verses. Will you just listen to the word of God this morning? Just open your spiritual ears and eyes. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but one thing I do, here's some more, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, their glory is their shame, their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. May God bless the reading of his holy, infallible word. Amen. There is so much in this chapter, and I have preached, I'm not being evangelistic, I have preached hundreds of times out of this chapter. It's one of my favorite. There's just too much in it, and so that's why my wife's telling me, stay on the track, because there's nothing worse than a preacher who's really enjoying himself. Because, put up the next slide. This is my entire sermon. God's given us much to do. So as we face this new year, there's some things, and I'll stick to my life. First of all, count. He says, count as loss, count as rubbish. He count the cost. He uses the term a few times, and I might repeat myself, but that's okay. All I want to say about that is, as we start 2024, I believe God is asking us to take stock of our life. What is priority? What matters in our life? What are the things that God is putting his finger on that we must lose, we must lay aside, that we must count as loss, as rubbish, as dung, as what doesn't matter, and what does matter? And when I just read that verse, and I got my whole sermon on the what the heck is their names? The tribe in Kenya who live in manure houses. The Maasai, thank you. See, you've heard my sermon so many times, you know it already. And they value manure, and you've heard that sermon. And they bury the king when he dies under the biggest pile of manure because cattle are wealth, and all the cattle of the world are theirs, and they're not really stealing cows when they go and find them because they all belong to them, you know, all of those things. But manure is a sign of wealth, is a sign of what we have. And they paint it on their floors of their houses, and the ladies would take fresh manure and put it on their hair and at the wedding, and it would shine because the flies would come and shine on there, and it's beautiful. And we are like, what? Manure? And all I want to tell you is, and I said I wasn't going to preach that message, but here it is. It's like everything we own is just pure manure. It's rubbish. All the stuff we value, and I'll say more gently later on, but I think it's a time for us to assess our lives. You know, God's not trapped in New Year's and beginning of years and whatever, but it's an opportunity for us to say, okay, what's priority in our life? Let's move along. He says, forget. If the past was great, forget it. If the past was poor, forget it. We are not able to change the past. And actually, we can't even do much with the future. But what we can do is what we can do with today, with an attitude, with a heart. And Brad, I thank God for a good, cheerful guy like Brad all the time. I tell him, don't ever lose that. We need the joy that Brad brings in our life. This is the year of the Lord's favor. Yeah. We dedicate this year to that. We confess that. No matter what the story is, no matter what's going on in our life, we can declare that and not some kind of hyped up, ooh, it's the truth. This is the year of the Lord's favor. His hand is upon me. He will open prison doors. He will open blinded eyes. He will use us to make a difference in the world and to change lives and hearts. And we confess that. So forget. There's some stuff you're going to need to forget. Offense, pain, things that have happened. I don't know. I don't want to start naming things. What is it God's telling you to leave in the past? And what is he saying to press on to? That's the third one. Press on. And the picture I have is of an Olympic athlete. Each one of these words is a couple of dozen sermons of mine, sorry. And I'm going to preach them all, but no. But to press on, it's like an Olympic athlete. He's got a goal. He's got this gold medal. There's 4 years from, like, I don't understand the commitment of an athlete like that, knowing that in 4 years from now, there's an Olympics and there's a gold medal to be the best in the world. And I'm going to do what it takes for the next, well, more than that, but these next 4 years, I'm going for that prize. I don't understand that kind of commitment, but that's what he's talking about. Press on to lay hold of, to take hold of Christ, his promise, heaven, citizenship, whatever words you want to pull out of this chapter. I had a cousin, Brian Pokar, and I've shared this sermon before, but he used to get up. He was the Canadian men's figure skating champion back in the day. Some of you are too young to know these things. He's my cousin. We hung out. We used to skate. He couldn't even skate when we were young. Ankles flopping around. It's like he would go to the skating rink every day at 4 a.m., taken there by his father. The commitment to it, the what it took to become a top, I think the best he did in Olympics was bronze. But it just like, there's a prize out there, folks, that we're reaching for. And I say press on, I think of Lori's dad and his commitment, and he's just a hard-headed German, just no compromise, just carve a Brightwood Youth Ranch out of a clay mud piece of land out there in Entwistle, and just, the pictures I have of her dad, forget the Olympic guys, is picking up, he was a strong guy, he's a tough, square German, worked hard his whole life. I never wanted to pretend wrestle with him because he would break my spiny, twisted legs. He loved the over-shoulder toe hold and whatever. Just the grandkids, kids loved him. But the picture I have of that pressing on is a telephone pole, half stuck in the mud, stuff going on, and him picking up the end of it, I don't know how many hundreds of pounds, and just, I can just see Irvin just stand up with this pole and drag that thing. He didn't care if you helped. He didn't care if 10 guys were falling down and could. He dragged that pole where it needed to go. It's just like it's an attitude of the heart. It's like it's a decision. It's a goal. You got something. And Paul talks about this heavenward vision. He's talking about being like Christ and one day to attaining to that and the prize. And there's 100 words in here that we could talk about. And I'm saying to you, you know, and I'm trying not to go negative because the sermons that I've preached many, many times on the other side of that is, I'm a little bit tired. I can't do much for Jesus, you know. I think I'm going to be sick tomorrow. Like, whatever. It's like, and George, my friend, I was talking with George, who was here for our spiritual emphasis. He reminded me of the stories of, you know, when I used to lead a life group in Pretoria and 3CI and it was way easier to wax eloquently like that when you have, you know, a couple thousand people. Here I'm more gentle because, no, please come, you know. It's like, I would say it to the whole church, and I'd say it, I don't care if any of you show up to serve as life groups. Lori and I will set this church up. And we're talking about a church of 2,000-3,000 people, whatever. We will do it. We don't need beggars. We're not beggars here. We're not in need of, oh, please help us. You know, maybe I said I wasn't going to be mean this morning, but it's like, no, stay at home. Let the three people who care, they'll serve, we'll clean, we'll polish this place. It doesn't matter. We do it because we love God. We do it, we're not getting paid. Well, I'm getting paid right now, but most of us aren't getting paid. I did this stuff before I was paid. We do it because we're pressing into something. Heavenward, there's something good about serving Christ. And the other option is to stay home and watch TV. Whatever, like, doesn't matter. And I'm trying to be nice today. Press on. Do not give up. If you think of Irvin in a mud pit with a telephone pole on his back, don't quit. Something good. And, you know, we like, you know, at his funeral, or there's many of you have testified of how that ranch changed your lives. I was amazed sitting in a life group and half the life group. Yeah, I got saved at Brightwood, or my life changed and this and that. We don't think of the mud hole and the power pole. We just think of, oh, the amazing thing to go to camp as a kid and eat food. And Selma used to cook like a queen. And, you know, but it's blood and gut stuff that makes church, that makes families, that makes life. Amen? Okay. Let's get a drink of water. I won't tell you what happened to Brian Poker at the end of his life, but it's a sad story. He says, then take hold of. Commitment, I don't know, like a bulldog with a bone. But, man, take hold of something. This, the Word of God, the promise that salvation, I don't know, I don't want to start naming things, but there's stuff worth dying for. Taking hold of. Amen? You work that one out for yourself. He says, I realize that I have not already attained, is another one. It's like his eyes were open. It's sooner the better. Realize what matters in life. Recognize what's ahead, the prize. If no prize, no resurrection, we are most miserable among men. You know, that whole sermon of Paul is talking about if we don't see it, if God cannot open our eyes like puppies, you know, the day comes when their eyes are open. And I could tell you stories of people that I've seen when their eyes open. And I can remember when my eyes opened, when the reality of heaven, genuinely, the reality of Christ, the reality of salvation hits you. It's like your eyes are open. You change forever. You can't be the same. Brad was saying it yesterday. If you can be 60-year-old and have lived this life, and all of a sudden, your eyes are opened. It's like it's a new life, a new creation. Doesn't matter what and who you are. It's you come alive to Christ. It changes things. And Paul says, I realize I haven't got there, but God was opening his eyes. There's more for him. And I realize I haven't yet and take hold of. It's like I'm not satisfied. I thank God for what he's doing in my life. I thank God for I'm talking about me now, forget about Paul. I thank God for what he's doing in my life, but there's so much more. There's so much more to reach out for in Christ and to know and to experience and to live out and to be faithful in and to preach and whatever, just to live the Christian life. Amen? And he says, count the cost, willing to pay the price, choose your heart. You want that sermon again? I know. You remember that sermon? Put up your hand. But choose your heart. That came from a doctor online that my wife follows. But, you know, exercise is hard. But so is not exercising. Right? Eating good, healthy is not easy. But eating rubbish is not easy. You know, diabetes is waiting. Whatever. Look, you know what I mean? Choose your heart. Choose which one. Faithful to, you know, getting up and reading through your Bible and doing your devotion or whatever it is, just faithful, take care of your, you know, that's why I'm congratulating you, every one of you here this morning. Just choose your heart. We chose to be here. We could stay home. That's a choice. And I'm going to conclude with a couple of good comments, so I'll just leave it there. Choose your heart. You know, I think we've been lied to. I know we've been lied to. And please forgive me, ladies. I guess I'm a misogynist. I don't know, but I'm not. No. That's on record. I'm not. Here's what I have written. We're told we can have it all. We're told we deserve it all. For example, and that's why I'm saying, ladies, you know, somehow there's this picture out there that you can have everything. You can be the most amazing mother, homekeeper, whatever, and have this fulfilling lifetime career, whatever, and you can do it. And people do it, but at what a price. Like, I'm just saying, sometimes we got to admit we cannot have it all. And there may be a season when you give up this. Maybe it was even a dream. Maybe it was even an education. I think of my wife, Lori, studied to be a dental assistant. We moved to Swan Hills. There was one little dentist's office for about 2 days in the week. She applied, and another lady who had been in Swan Hills longer got the job. So she's like, what's my studies for? We moved to Africa, that part of Tanzania. Nobody heard about a dentist. It's like, dentist, clean your teeth, like a stick. Seriously, like, it wasn't like the highest priority profession. And so she's never been a dental assistant. But I'll tell you, and I want to say, I want to swear, so God help me this morning, but she's been a damn good wife. She has been an amazing wife and mother and raised kids and done a career and been in ministry. She's the pastor, just so you know it, okay? And I bless her. But what am I trying to say is there's seasons and there's giving up and laying down, and don't beat yourself up if you're not the greatest career person, or you wrestle with motherhood and you're it's okay. It's like God's going to give grace for these things to walk this out and live your life with some kind of peace and joy and victory, okay? But we've been lied to. We can't have it all. I don't forget the ladies, all of us. We can't have it all. You know, again, talking with Brad yesterday. Sorry, Brad, you're getting all the comments. We're driving along, and it's like one of the things in this country that frustrated me when we first moved here, and I quit talking about it, but it seemed like all we honored was hard work. If you're working hard, good. Not so much about family, life, joy, recreation, fun. Like I was sharing some of the life we used to live in Pretoria. Just, I don't know, it just goes with sunshine or what? I don't know, but it's just buckle down and we're going to get through this next season and just hang in there, brother. And I get it, because what else is there to do? You might as well work and watch TV, but it's like, there's a life for us. And we don't just give it up. We fight for it. We go for the good things. And you are here this morning, so I'm talking to the choir. Hallelujah. So what have I said? There's commitment, there's compromise, there's the cross, there's the cost. And I don't want to go back over those. So here's my thoughts. And I will forget about Paul. He's had his chance. Let me give you my thoughts. People say, I'll serve God, but I need certain things. I think I'd go back to that reminder of, don't let that $5 million New York lawyer that lives inside of each of us justify mediocrity or justify whatever. Just, man, we need to be like Paul. We need to set our course. We need to look to heaven. We need to look to Christ and say, no, devil, you're a liar. In the light of eternity, what's your priority? And this is what I was going to do, but you wouldn't believe the week I've had. I need to get a haircut every day. I know you think my hair is beautiful, but I went to try to get one, the school phone, the plumber phone. I just leave the building. I've been waiting for 2 hours for him to show up. I just leave. I'm here at the building. Can you open it? I'm like, yeah, I'll drive back in 45 below weather and just open the door for you. So now, why am I saying all that? Help me here. Huh? Yeah, good. Whatever that was, it was good. Yeah, that's it. That's how many thoughts I got. That's why my wife says, stay on track, Leonard. I need her right here. I need her. My thoughts. Yeah, that's about what they're worth right there. Let's go back to the Bible. It'll come back to me. Here's what I have written down. I'll stick with what I have written down. What's your price? Can you be bought off? These are all sermons. Every one of them is sermons I've preached. Can you be offended? You will be. You will be again and again and again until you can't be. Is that okay? If you're wondering if a flood's coming, let me just tell you, a flood's coming. It's what you prepared for. You know, this 40 below weather, 50 below, tests us. It tests every weakness of a battery, a furnace, an attitude. And it also brings out the gold and what's good. So don't worry about offense and don't worry about trials. They're coming. But what's your price? Can you be bought off? Can you be bought off? That's I don't want to preach that message, but it's like Paul's pressing in. He's got his eyes on the prize. He's taken hold of something, and these guys are trying to cut in on him, as he says in Galatians, and he's warning them, and watch out for the dogs and the Judaizers and the religious and the liars and the evil and the stuff and those who are half, and he's saying all this stuff in prison, and he's saying, what's your price? Who can cut you off? Somebody offends you, something happens, what's your price? And I want my price to be high. I want to be able to stand. Listen, devil, you're a liar. And if I could sing it, I'd sing it. No, not today, devil. You know, not today. Not today. This isn't your day. This isn't your day you're going to take my family. This is not the day you're coming for me. Tell the devil, he's a liar. You're not taking this church. You're not taking this building. Not today. He's a liar. So, three more points, okay? Let me challenge you. I was listening to a particular speaker. You don't need to know who. And he used the example of a wealthy businessman. He was asking him, what's the definition of success? And the wealthy businessman's answer was, my definition is not stuff and business and things and finance. My definition of success is that when my grown adult children want to spend time with me. That's it. You know? Sometimes, what's your definition of success? What is success? What is it? In the light of eternity, what's your priority? And this, okay, remember now, I wanted to buy a long, long rope and use Francis Chan's example. And just pretend with me, okay? There's this big rope, and I was just going to run to the back, but I've already been to the back a couple times, and you're wondering about me this morning. But I just drag this rope all the way to the back, and on the end of the rope is this little piece of red tape, and you know the example, you've seen it probably. And that represents our life, and all this rope that you don't see, which is never is eternity. And that little piece on the end is our life. And then his example was, and this little end is that part of retirement that you're living for, working for, saving for someday, one day. Ooh, and that, like, in light of all of this, what's your priority? What matters? You know, thank God if you have something in your bank account, thank God. Like, I've said it, I've been rich and I've been poor, and rich is better, but I'm a lot happier crying in my Ferrari than in my Volkswagen. You know the stories, it's like, only poor people say money doesn't matter. It's because you got none. I'm talking to me. In light of eternity, what's your priority? And this is free. This is from George. Let me take a drink of water. This is good. This is good. I'm in my right mind, and I'm sound as I share this. Here's from George. You can spend your life on whatever you want, truly. You can spend your life on whatever you want. But here's the kicker. You only get to spend it once. That's it. Let that sink in. He was dealing with a particular situation, and a young guy had said he wanted to step off of some leadership position in their church, and it's way easier to talk about people far away. And so he was sitting with him, challenging him, and the challenge that he gave me in the example is, you have an integrity gap in your life. What he meant was, what you speak, what you say, and what you are living don't line up. There's an integrity gap there. What we are saying and speaking and preaching and doing must line up with in our life. Amen? You know, we talk about Jesus, we talk about victory, we talk about glory, we talk about worship, whatever. Our lives then must line up to that. And that doesn't mean we don't suffer. It doesn't mean, like Paul in prison, we don't battle. It does, but what we speak and say lines up with how we live. Okay? That's another sermon. And the last one, he asked this young man to imagine he's 80 years old. Imagine, well, some of us don't have to imagine so much anymore. You're 80 years old, but whatever age you are today, I give you homework. Go home and write a legacy letter. This is a letter of your legacy at the end of your life that you would want to be remembered for. What you would want to have accomplished. Family, ministry, fine, I don't care. A legacy letter. Write yourself a legacy letter, imagining you're 80 years old and you're writing down what you want your life to mean. It's someone at your funeral's reading. I don't care, whatever. But write a legacy letter of yourself. And this was his challenge to this young man. And so I'm sitting there talking on the phone, and I knew what I was speaking on today. I'm just typing, okay? And then here's the kicker. Is what you're doing right now, is how you're living right now, going to get you there? What do you want to accomplish? What do you want at the end of 80 years? What do you want when you stand before the Lord? What do I want? What do we want? To have lived faithful, to have lived a life that's pleasing to God, I like Paul in 1 Corinthians 12:15, he says, you know, I spent everything. I gladly spent everything and be spent for the sake of your soul. See, I'm telling you, all of these are preaches that I've preached dozens, hundreds of times. I want to spend my life on what matters. I want at the end of my life to, wow, that I don't want to regret. I know when I get to heaven, I'm not going to regret. What's regret? I've been up since 4 in the morning, so forgive me. I know I'm not going to regret what I did for God. The moments I spent with people, my kids, my family, my life. There is stuff I'll regret. The wasted time, the angry time. I think someone needs to hear it. I'm going to invite the worship team to come, and Brad's going to close. But you get one life. You get to spend it. Choose. Paul said, you know, I gladly spend my life. I gladly be spent. We're not fools. You can say amen, right? I may look stupid. Don't say amen. But I'm not. We choose how we lay down our life. We choose how we spend this life. And God's grace to us is that he's given us that choice. And let's lay our lives down. In 2024, if there's stuff to forget, if there's stuff to leave behind, physically, mentally, spiritually, whatever, let's lay it down and let's press on and take hold. What is it God's speaking to you about to count as rubbish? It's not rubbish. There's things, but we count it as loss. We set it aside. There's stuff I need to let go to take hold of that for which Christ called me. I got to decide, you got to decide. And it's a joy, it's a blessing. And I declare it, I want to end it with saying, this is the year of the Lord's favor. I know God's favor is on my life. What comes, I agree with you, Tash, I think, was saying about the challenges that are coming. They are real. We're in them. They're real. I think Jeremy's word, sorry, I'm pointing, but he's not there. There he is. About the fog. He was driving in the other day, and God says, no, the fog's real, but you know the way, and here's some signs. I think that fog is on our lives, on this country, but we can find our way as we dedicate ourselves to Christ. Amen? Welcome.